That was my favorite part, is that it sometimes just takes countless hours to schedule, to get the logistics of scheduling your guest's interview.
It's
And
true.
how do you account for that, especially when some guests are ready to go after one email? So you can never know how, as a producer, just how many hours you'll need to devote to pinning down your guests and their schedule and getting the logistics of the interview lined up.
Well, this is a good moment to tell you that Radio Survivor is a listener and reader supported.
Hi, I'm Carol from Athens, New York. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
I'm Spike Priggin, host of the Bedazzled Radio Hour, broadcast every week from 12:10 until 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon, live from Spike's Record Rack, 400 Main Street in the Village of Catskill. Every Wednesday, I play pop, rock, soul, country, blues, reggae, and other obscurities, and once in a while, a hit or two. Please check out the Bedazzled Radio Hour with Spike Priggin on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, every Wednesday from 12:10 until 2.
Why did you say that?
out there in radio land.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues. The show is a monthly roundup of new music, plumbing psych, folk, cosmic Americana, indie, garage, and exploratory titles, alongside enough classic gems to hold it all together like glue. You can tune into the show every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
From Survival comes an economical do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved and easy to assemble. Takes just a weekend.
Get maximum protection from nuclear fallout for your family.
See a Survival shelter today.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of J. Johannes Freibel Parker of Ravenna, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're tuned to Radio Art, creative transmissions, sound experiments, noise, and more on WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Kenneth C. Crow II reports in the Times Union that Rensselaer County officials said on January 4th, Representative Elise Stefanik plans to open a district office in Rensselaer County's new office building on Route 4. Stefanik, a Saratoga County Republican, now represents Rensselaer County after political boundaries shifted last year. Stefanik's new office in East Greenbush will open next month. County Executive Steve McLaughlin said in a statement that, and I quote, "This will help expand convenience and access to important services for our residents by having Congresswoman Stefanik's offices in Rensselaer County," end quote. Stefanik now represents all of Rensselaer County except the cities of Troy and Rensselaer and half of the town of North Greenbush. Read the full story in the Times Union. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Democrat Pat Ryan and Republican Mark Molinaro are swearing they will both work across the aisle in Congress if they can ever be sworn in to their new roles. Ryan was sworn in last summer, replacing Democrat Antonio Delgado for the final weeks of his term in the 19th Congressional District, but then because of redistricting, Ryan won the 18th Congressional District in the fall's election, and Molinaro won the 19th District seat. Now, though, the Republican majority in the House of Representatives has, over and over again, failed to elect the Speaker of the House, and no other business, including swearing in members, can happen until a Speaker is chosen. Ryan said, and I quote, "It's definitely disappointing Republicans can't seem to come together at a time when clearly we've got to come together and work to restore trust in our democracy. I'm just trying to get sworn in and do my job," end quote. Ryan also addressed working with the four-vote Republican majority. He said, and I quote, "We may appear more divided than ever, but it is my job first and foremost to serve the Hudson Valley. I'll work with anyone, regardless of party, who wants to serve their constituents and get things done. And I'll never hesitate to call out those who dishonor this institution and this country. The stakes are too high right now for anything else," end quote. Molinaro also said he will work with Republicans and Democrats to deliver, and I quote, "common sense results that will create economic opportunity, address our crumbling infrastructure, and improve public safety," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Both Columbia County and Greene County East announced another death from COVID-19 on January 3rd. Greene County also reported 52 new cases, 61 active cases, and 14 patients hospitalized. Columbia County officials write on social media that, and I quote, "Due to the retirement of the state's Common Care Case Investigation System, we are no longer able to share daily case numbers," end quote, even though Greene County continues to share that information. Meanwhile, in Albany, Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that the state legislature is operating this term without any COVID-19 protections in place. NYPRG Executive Director Blair Horner said, and I quote, "Today feels like the olden days pre-pandemic. People are wandering around, by and large, without masks, and the sort of energy level, the human interaction, is there that wasn't here last year," end quote. According to the State Office of General Services, the only difference between the 2019 and 2023 legislative sessions is the upgraded air filtration system in the state capitol that completes two-hour fresh air exchanges before the start and at the end of the day. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Brazil has a new president and a renewed chance to save the Amazon. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The Amazon rainforest is often called the lungs of the planet, covering more than 3 million square miles across 9 South American countries. It's an immense carbon sink, drawing carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, storing it as biomass and releasing oxygen. Other tropical rainforests do the same, from the Congo Basin to New Guinea and Indonesian-occupied West Papua and Malaysia. But the Amazon is on a scale of its own, and with human activity driving catastrophic global heating, protecting the climate healing power of the Amazon is vital. Which is why the victory in Brazil's recent presidential race by Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva may be one of the most momentous events in modern world history. Known as Lula, voters return him for a third term after he left office more than a decade ago. He's pledged to protect the Amazon and the indigenous communities that have long stewarded the forest. Lula defeated the racist far-right-wing incumbent President Jair Bolsonaro, an autocrat who made unrestrained Amazon deforestation and the elimination of protected indigenous zones a central pillar of his single term in office. Before Lula's January 1st inauguration, Bolsonaro fled to Orlando, Florida, reportedly to the vacation home of Brazilian José Aldo, a champion mixed martial arts fighter.
This is the first time that a Brazilian president since the end of the dictatorship in Brazil was not there to pass the presidential sash to the incoming president.
Independent journalist Michael Fox said on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
It was actually this diverse group of Brazilian people, a black trash collector, the folks from a cook, a handicap activist who passed that sash on to Lula, and it showed the Brazilian people coming together. So it was huge.
Lula was a metal worker and union organizer during Brazil's military dictatorship. A co-founder of the Workers' Party, he was first elected president in 2002. During his two successive terms, policies he championed, like the Zero Hunger Program, lifted millions of Brazilians out of poverty and food insecurity. His successor, Dilma Rousseff, a Workers' Party member and former guerrilla, was impeached in a legislative coup in 2016. Lula himself was imprisoned in 2018 for 580 days on trumped-up corruption charges. He was released when a court ruled the judge in his case was biased against him. Bolsonaro has been called the Tropical Trump, and like Donald Trump, refused to concede his election loss, claiming that only God could remove him from office. Concerns of potential violence from Bolsonaro supporters during Lula's inauguration prompted the Brazilian Supreme Court to ban legal firearms from the capital city of Brasilia until after the event.
The last few years, we undoubtedly lived in one of the worst periods in our history, an era of shadows, doubts, and a lot of suffering,
Lula said in his inauguration speech.
But this nightmare came to an end with the sovereign vote in the most important election since the country's return to democracy. An election that has shown the Brazilian people's commitment to democracy and its institutions.
Lula's government is a radical departure from Bolsonaro's authoritarianism. Key ministerial appointments include Goldman Prize winner Marina Silva, a defender of the Amazon rainforest, as Minister of the Environment and Climate Change. Black activist, journalist, and educator Aniele Franco as Minister of Racial Equality. In 2018, Aniele's sister, Marielle Franco, a human rights activist and member of the Rio de Janeiro City Council, was assassinated. And Sonia Guajajara as Brazil's first ever minister for indigenous peoples. In September 2019, Guajajara was in New York City marching in the youth-led climate strike.
E a Amazônia tá queimando, né, neste momento.
The Amazon is burning at this exact moment. Lots of territories are on fire.
She told Democracy Now.
Nós atribuímos o aumento desses incêndios a esse discurso, né, do governo Bolsonaro de.
We attribute the increase in the fires to the rhetoric of the government of Jair Bolsonaro that incites attacks, that incites invasions, and incites deforestation. The practices of the Bolsonaro government are consolidating this government as the biggest enemy of indigenous people and the environment. I think we're in a time of awakening. Lots of people are waking up to the urgent need to fight for the environment. And for that, it's necessary for people to have political and ecological consciousness, to call out and pressure the governments in their countries in order to adopt sustainable policies, not only destructive ones.
Brazil is the largest country in Latin America and the 12th largest economy in the world. Lula's presidency, with its historically diverse cabinet, opens the door to progressive change to challenge the rising global tide of authoritarianism and fascism. Saving the Amazon rainforest is one of Lula's principal goals, but the task is too large and too urgent for one nation or one administration alone. The Amazon is at a tipping point, and we all must tackle this existential threat together. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 40 degrees and a calm wind becoming northwest at 5 to 8 miles an hour in the afternoon. It will be mostly clear on Saturday night with a temperature low of around 24 degrees and a northwest wind at around 10 miles an hour. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 37 degrees. And Sunday night, a slight chance of snow showers after 1 a.m. with a temperature low of around 25 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland. Take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like. It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners, They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You're tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio from Greene and Columbia counties.
All the German lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing apart, we know every card by heart. All the German lights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, you know what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Ed, I've got news for you. No brain.
Welcome to 200 milliseconds.
Oh. What?
Well, it could be this. Well, it could be that. Well, it could be this. Well, it could be that.
What?
It's either this or that.
No brain.
This or that.
No brain.
It's either this or that. It's either this or that.
What?
Just don't see
it. Ed, I've got news for you.
If you experienced everything when you were crossing a street, you would never get across the street. The world is trillions of times more complicated.
You don't actually see what gets edited out.
We have to cut it down to a manageable entity.
A filter bubble.
1 trillionth of the information that hits your eye actually gets transmitted to the brain.
You don't all see the same Google result.
It's less than a trillionth of reality that we exist in. Less than a trillionth of reality
that you live in online.
When you perceive something,
when your brain is doing this,
you have a tenth of a second before it becomes conscious.
When your brain is doing that,
and it will change in that tenth of a second to fit what you already know. It's not denying it.
Oh, what?
It's like it's not even a fact.
What? You're rich? It's already different internet than the poor.
It's our users who control what they see.
The facts are being ignored or attacked. They just don't see it.
We have to do it. It's an illusion. But it's an illusion that we've all constructed so that we can live.
You know, you sort of step 2 steps to the side to get a better view of something, to get a different angle. And the world turns to meet your gaze.
From the 2021 release No Brain, that was Negative Land with No Brain.
Yeah.
From the 2023 album Speech Free, that was Negative Land with What is the Problem on 90.7 FM WGXC. Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
This is the best rib sub I have ever had. A woman yells to no one in particular at Devil's Hole Pizza and Ribs. We've even had barbecue in Louisiana, and it's not as good as this, she utters into the void. Her husband looks down, half-heartedly poking at the few remaining baked beans scattered below. His stomach is not so full that he can't swallow the first response that comes to mind. Sweetheart, we've never been to Louisiana. We've never even been outside of Niagara County in all of our 55 years together. This, he does not say. It's just too much trouble, so he says nothing. He just thinks about how it's getting worse. She is being lost to time. And he feels there is little he can do but watch the decline. But even though she is not the same woman he once knew, he has learned after all these years that he will love her no matter what. Love was out of his control. So he carries on, poking at the beans on his plate, which overlaps with her plate, since the table that they're sitting on is much too small for two people. But it's the only table at this establishment, usually used by people waiting for their takeout orders. The presence of other people sitting here eating takes Zach El Kiba by surprise when he enters. This doesn't seem like the kind of place for dining in. He stutter steps as he walks past their table, thinks of saying something but he doesn't, too awkward. So he breezes up to the counter and addresses the hole in the wall, underneath the sign that says, Place Order Here.
Hey buddy, you back there?
Remember me? I was here yesterday.
I'm only in town one more night.
The food was amazing.
Loved it.
Gotta get me some more before I head out of town.
A large, shadowy figure in the back of the kitchen says nothing. So Zach just places his takeout order. Half rack of ribs, coleslaw, baked beans, slice of buffalo chicken pizza, a loganberry, and two dipping sauces, spicy barbecue, and creamy horseradish. As he waits, the old man stares at him, transfixed. His attention is not at all seized by jealousy, he tells himself, just curiosity. He wonders what his story is, this young, beautiful man with pointy boots and a backwards newsboy cap. He decides he must be gay, from a big city, or both. If he's rich, he does resent him a little. And if he's not rich, the guy must be up to no good. But no, not jealous at all. Zach's order is ready. A grocery-sized paper bag dangles from a meaty hand sticking out of the hole in the wall. Zach grabs the bag, puts a wad of cash in the hand, keep the change. He sets the bag of styrofoam containers in the passenger seat of his Mazda Miata and heads to his motel. Devil's Hole remains behind, a quiet diorama behind glass, with an old couple sitting there underneath fluorescent lights at a much too small table. The woman is talking, but her husband is too deep in thought. Nothing is registering in his brain. He just nods and gets smaller in the distance as it all slowly disappears into a different plot. Hospital corners. That's the secret to a well-made bed. And the maid working on room 33 cranks them out like a machine.
Position a flat sheet. A flat sheet is a sheet.
Bottom sheet corners tucked crisp under mattress, not a wrinkle. Top corner folded 45 degrees, hanging, tucked, clean, smooth the edge. The maid looks just as tidy and crisp as the beds she makes. She's like a maid from a different era. Fully starched uniform of black dress, white buttons, and lace apron at the waist. But before she is done cleaning room 33, its guest has arrived. It's Zach, rolling his sports car into the spot in front of the room marked with a 33 in yellow paint. A pampered, sparkling motorcycle is the only other vehicle in the parking lot. He sees that the door to his room is open. Then he sees the maid emerge while tying off a bag of garbage. Confused, he calls to her. Hey, this is my room. I'm still here another night. Yes, I'm sorry, she replies. We just figured you might like some nice, fresh bedding and a tidying up. I'll only be another minute. Kinda strange to be cleaning a room when the guest hasn't requested it, right? Especially at 8 p.m., he asks. She just smiles and goes right back to cleaning the room. He watches her work, struck by her elegance and long, sharp form.
I guess I can wait.
He sets his bag of food on the hood and gets a head start on dinner by popping open one of his to-go boxes and taking a few bites of pizza. He peers into the room through the open door as he chews, hardly taking an eye off the contours of the maid as she maneuvers around the bed. She gathers her supply onto a small cart and then takes one last step back to inspect, or perhaps admire, her work. A perfectly made bed, not a crumb on the floor or out of place, and this is how she always sets a room. Left without a history of guests. All yours, she says, as she pushes the cart past him.
Enjoy your stay at the Cascade Motel.
He gloms a few more leers at the restrained way her tight dress shapes her exit. A pervert's grin flashes across his face, and then he heads into the room. He is immediately struck by how immaculately clean it is, and bright, freakishly bright white. White blanket, white sheets, white pillows, white table and chairs and walls. He notices one new feature as well. The drab orange curtains have been replaced with delicate bands of white lace. His deep red barbecue ribs scream as they enter this virginal chamber. He wastes no time in rearranging the maid's work by setting up an emergency dinner area. Pulls up a table next to the bed, sets the phone and the lamp from the table onto the floor next to him, pulls a second chair over on which to rest excessive styrofoam containers. The ribs look garish and crystalline. He eats them like an animal without napkins, it occurs to him. The shadow at Devil's Hole forgot to give him napkins. Jesus, he whispers to himself. Barbecue ribs and no fucking napkins. He looks around, then heads to the bathroom to grab two clean white lace trim washcloths. He sets the beans and the coleslaw on the chair, the ribs, Loganberry half slice of pizza and sauces on the side table, and he sits facing it all from the edge of the bed. A drip of spicy barbecue dip drops onto the side of the white bed. Loganberry seeps from the improperly closed lid onto the white rug. The red drenched washcloths rub a tint against the white walls they're sitting against. After he finishes as much as he can, he stuffs the empty containers into a garbage can that seems smaller than the garbage he's trying to fit into it. The aftermath of his meal has left a devastating smell in the air. He is too much a part of it to notice it, but he does notice the TV. He normally doesn't watch TV, but whenever he's in a motel, he's compelled to at least turn it on, flip through it a bit, and then usually turn it right back off. He finds the remote velcroed to the top of the TV. He turns it on, but there's just a thin white line across the black screen. No sound. He flips through, all the same. He gives up without much of a fight, just leaving the TV hanging there with the white line on its screen. He can hear the TV from the room next door, though, and it makes him envious. The walls of this motel are paper thin. So without any straining, he can tell that the guest in room 34 is watching some sensational show about animal attacks. A chimp mauls his owners at a birthday party.
I had no idea a chimpanzee was capable of doing that to a human. He got all my fingers on each hand, gouged out my left eye, and bit my rear end so deep that it damaged my sciatic nerve. That's why I can't walk. He also got my wife's thumb, took that. I was kicking at it for my
He wants to watch TV like the guy in room 34.
Worst birthday ever.
But instead, he just digests and stares ahead at the bright white wall. His ears pick up the clacking sound of high heels in the distance. They are coming closer, louder. They seem to slow down right outside of his door, then stop. Whoever it is, she's right on the other side of his door. He sits up, alert. But then the footsteps start up again and stop just a few feet away. and there's a knock on the door next to him. Room 34. The door opens. Zach puts his ear to the wall, and he can hear voices in the next room, crystal clear, as if it were his own.
Hi, can I help you?
The guest in room 34 answers the door in his t-shirt and sweatpants. He's in his mid-50s, rugged and sleepy, and completely surprised to open the door to find a beautiful lady on the other side of it. She's dressed for a night out, yet carrying a large box. Makeup, pumps, and a big stupid cardboard box that she needs both arms outstretched to carry. Hey, how's your night going? Is that your motorcycle? She asks. Yes, it is. Do I know you? Yes, of course I do. I do. Nah, we've never met. I'm just from around the area, she says. I stop by the motel sometimes to sell some merchandise and just get to know folks. And I saw your handsome motorcycle and thought, gee, I'd really like to see who this fella is. She tells him her name is Nicole. Tonight she is selling decorative hourglasses. Cheap-looking things made of bright colored plastic, filled with white sand that falls on a tiny replica of Niagara Falls. Part hourglass, part snow globe, all tchotchke.
You're going door to door at night selling hourglasses?
Well, the wagon wheel. You know, the bar. It's right nearby, and I move a lot of product there, so I always figure to stop here afterwards to see if any out-of-towners might want a souvenir.
Their conversation is brief. She never even sits. But they cover a lot of ground in the short period of time. The guest in room 34 has clearly been yearning for human contact. He instantly opened up about his recent divorce, his early retirement due to a spinal injury, how he can't ride his motorcycle for too long because of his back, but he still likes to ride it when he can. He lives a little over an hour away in Rochester. He just wanted to get away, see the falls, and try his luck at the casino. He's been feeling lonely lately, he tells her that. Just good to get out. Even as he spilled all this to her, in the back of his mind, he was puzzled by this random woman standing in his tiny motel room. Do you like them? She inquires.
Sure, but it's very odd.
No doubt about it. Very odd.
Is there anything else I can offer you tonight?
He pauses. Too many things go through his head. He takes a good look at her, trying to decode her intentions. And he suddenly senses something strange about her. Makes his skin crawl. There's a dead look in her eyes. Completely disconnected from the sparkle of her smile.
No, I'm fine. I'll take one. An hourglass. Just an hourglass. How much?
Oh, okay, an hourglass then. Here, then how about this one? It's so you. Just $8. He quickly pushes a $10 bill towards her and goes quiet. Are you sure there's nothing else I can interest you in tonight, sweetie? He says no, and she packs her box to leave. But before she does, she turns to him. Well, enjoy your stay. Oh, and these hourglasses, by the way? The sands only fall in one direction. You'll see. Back in room 33, Zach hears every word of this, standing with his face to the wall. After he heard her leave room 34, he excitedly hoped his door was next. He is curious about those additional services. Zach L. Keebaugh is a party boy, and his appetite for adventure is even higher than his appetite for a good rack of ribs. He waits, but she walks right by his door. He hears her heels walking through the parking lot. He pulls the lace curtain aside and sees her sashaying away. Without hesitation, he pops open his door, looks to his left, and then hurries after her. Hey, excuse me, excuse me. She stops, but doesn't turn around. You're the hourglass lady, aren't you? I'll take one. I'll take whatever you're offering. Sorry, buddy, but I just sold the last one, she says, and then flings the empty box onto a pile of abandoned mattresses.
But I have more back at my place if you'd like to follow me there.
Hell yeah.
She leads him out of the parking lot and across the street. They traverse a field and walk across the baseball diamond at Hyde Park. Through the brush they go at the edge of the outfield, where she disappears into a dense stand of shrubs and briars. Looking ahead for her, he can't see her, but he can hear her giggle, and he can sense that she's close. The thicket didn't look very dense to him at first, but now that he's entered it, it feels like a jungle. Absolute darkness surrounds him. He hears nothing but the rustling of branches and the sound of her breath. She feels near. He reaches out and cannot feel her. She beckons. This way, the voice, modulating, breaking. Her but not her. But he can't stop following. The air he gulps is getting thicker and moist. The blackness turns to swirls of purple and dark blue, unfolding in around him as the ornate plumage. There is a sense of euphoria with every inhalation. She laughs. He sees her face. Her body is formless. He moves forward, but not on his own. He slides along more down than across. Strange, but he feels a smile on his face, hot blood on his lips. Blinding flashes of a chimpanzee hacking at him, his big white teeth glinting in shards of moonlight. Zack sees himself being ripped apart, but only feels pleasure. The branches are decorated with his limbs. He caresses the chimp's face, the struggle, mouth to mouth, and limb to limb to limb. Suddenly, all sounds deafening. The chimp shrieks. Nicole belches a deep, baleful laugh and grows, and spreads two legs made of trees, from which a corpse, mummified in lace, emerges.
Come with us forever, party boy.
His spirit descends into a pit in the earth. His severed head licks his lips. His eyes have never seen so clearly. He felt so good he couldn't feel a thing. I can't wait for you to take my place, he hears sung, echoing as if from a distant bathtub or light bulb. His body is in shreds. His mind is a mere sliver until it was completely swallowed by something beyond death. Worlds away. A baseball diamond sits, sparingly used, bored as dirt. Back at the motel, the guest in room 34 goes out for a smoke. He notices a maid making up the bed, although the Mazda is still parked in the spot for room 33. The room is so clean it almost glows. But it's after 10 p.m. Why is she making up a room at this hour? None of my business, he tells himself. He takes a couple more deep sucks on his cigarette and looks as far as he can into the distance. He goes back to his room and shuts the door. The sand has emptied to the bottom of the hourglass, so he flips it over. But somehow, the sand no longer flows. He stretches and feels no pain in his back. You know something, he thinks to himself? I think I'll go for a nice long ride tomorrow.
Some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Thank you.
I'm Old Fashioned on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
true or false.
I say to you, this statement is false. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is true, then the statement is true. And if the statement is false, then the statement is false. This statement is false. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is true, then the statement is false. And if the statement is false, then the statement is true. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And I'd like to give you a simple example of this. If I say to you, let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is false, then the statement is true. And if the statement is true, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. There are always statements that can be neither proved nor disproved. This statement is true. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is false, then the statement is true. And if the statement is true, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. If the statement is true, then the statement is true. And if the statement is false, then the false statement is true. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. If I say to you, this true statement is false. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If I say to you, if the true statement is false, then the statement is false. And if the false statement is false, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. If the false statement is true, then the statement is true. Just think about this statement forever. If the true statement is false, then the statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes into a loop. If the true statement is false, then the statement is true. And if the statement is true and false, then the statement is true, true, true. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. Then this false statement is true, false. And if the true statement is false, then the statement is true, false, forever. And we get into a true loop forever. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is true, and if the statement is false, then there's no way we can ever show that the statement is either true or false. This statement is false. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. If the statement is forever, then forever is the statement. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop which goes on forever. And we get into a loop.
Have you guessed the riddle yet?
We get into a loop which goes on forever and forever. We get into a loop which goes on forever and forever.
Conclusion?
Which goes on forever. Which goes on forever.
Whatever people want is true, even if it isn't.
May I repeat that?
Now you say, how can you make a statement? It's true, even if it isn't. Who can say it isn't? Who can say what is? Who can say it isn't?
That's exactly what we
Who
want.
Who can say what is?
Do it again.
feelings are facts. So who is to say what's a fact?